Dear Heavenly Father, we once again, as always, thank you, lift our thanks and praise, and give you all the glory. And we just thank you for being our God, and we who have come to know you, and particularly know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what you did to send him into this world and to die for our sins. And so we just thank you for all that you've done. So we ask you now, Lord, as we continue to study your word, to grow in our individual and group understandings of your words in the Bible, we just ask for your direction and guidance as we continue to go through the Proverbs at this particular junction in our study. So we ask for our minds to be clear and to grow in our understanding of your word. So we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you provide. And we just ask for a blessing on this day and on our teaching here, but also in our worship service and our fellowship meal afterwards. So we thank you for all things that you provide. And prepare us for this day that we, maybe someone will cross our path that needs to know the truth and needs to know about Jesus. And so help us not to be afraid of speaking up and encouraging people that we meet and those that may even be resistant. I just pray, Lord, give us the boldness to witness our faith. So I thank you, Lord, for this time and the people who have come and the people who are listening in. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you should have your Bibles open to Proverbs 14. And we read through verse 16 last week, so we're going to pick up right directly with verse 17 and through the end. I'm still dealing primarily with these terms, various terms, if you watch as we go through the verses. Some we can kind of compare from good or bad. Others, sometimes we might use the phrase right or wrong. Others we have wise or foolish. And sometimes even the contra terms of love or hate. And then I added, I think last week, wicked or righteous. And so there's various different phrases that the Lord has used in Solomon's writings to describe the different ways of looking at what is spoken here, the good and the bad. So we'll pick up right away with verse 17. And I'll read that one, and then we'll decide whether it's good or bad or whatever, indifferent. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. So I think those may all lean towards not so good, but you know, I look back on some of my life, and I know I was somewhat quick-tempered, particularly when I was young. I didn't like to lose. I didn't like to lose in sports. I didn't like to lose in a lot of different things. And I didn't show my faith as I should have in times of anger or just feeling upset with the situation. So it's something we probably, to some degree, have all experienced. Some people have their, you know, their tempers under control, and others it's a little difficult to hold back. So anyway, I thought that was important to reflect upon. Verse 18, the simple people inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. So, you know, if we have a choice between the two or can follow the two, it's better to be prudent and to be crowned with knowledge. Let the Lord's knowledge fill us rather than inherit folly. Verse 19, evil men will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. And I guess I listed for that verse, both in a sense had some good to it. Evil men will bow down in the presence of the good. So they recognize the good and recognize them, so there's bowing down. And the wicked, the bad people, at the gates of the righteous. So where the righteous are, even the wicked may be encouraged to bow down. So that's both good. Verse 20, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors. And that's often the case. But the rich have many friends. So I guess I had for that reading, verse 20, I had the first one, the bad, the poor are shunned. I don't think it happens, but it shouldn't, you know. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors. And that's bad, but the rich have many friends. Now, I think we know that sometimes because the rich have many friends, it's because of their wealth that they may be friends, but it's just a phrase of reflection. So verse 21, he who despises his neighbor sins. That's true. But blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Again, I think I had that verse, let's see, just by 21. Is bad and good, so to a sense. Verse 22, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. So the first half of that is bad, the second half is generally good. Verse 23, all hard work brings a profit. That's good. Hard work is good, even to bring a profit for what you do. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Sometimes if all you do is talk about something, don't do something, it may still put you in a state of lack of things. Verse 24, the wealth of the wise is their crown. So sometimes those who have wealth may consider themselves wise, and that is alone their crown, but it's not really enough. But the folly of fools yields folly. So if somebody is by nature, by very personality, a foolish person, folly of fools yields folly, brings more folly, maybe has an impact on others, and they follow the same foolish ways. You know, I think of a lot of what's going on again, and I've reflected on this several times in our culture, in our government, in, you know, all aspects of our society. You know, particularly now we're struggling with this New York City mayor race and all he's promising and all he's, but he's a, I call him a communist, and I believe he is, but he calls himself something a little lesser than that. But, and I think it's another example of people following the foolish and cause all kinds of problems. Verse 25, a truthful witness saves lives, and that's good. But a false witness is deceitful, and that's bad. Verse 26, he who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. Put your trust in the Lord, and that's good. And for his children, it will be a refuge. So so it can be the benefit of your children as well. And you fear the Lord and let the Lord guide your ways. Verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. That's pretty interesting and meaningful. That's good. Turning a man from the snares of death. There may be a reward for the fear of the Lord. If you follow the Lord, you put your trust and fear in the Lord may bless you with a long life, but not a, that may not be the God's will for everyone. You know, we have the Charlie Kirk situation that we just go through, but there's a even a greater purpose for his death than he was in his life. Because look at the people that are coming to Christ. And I hope it's real. I hope it will be sustained. I hope it will be meaningful. So God sometimes takes the good, the righteous, home to heaven early, and it brings greater benefit to others. Verse 28, a large population is a king's glory, but without subjects, a prince is ruined. So the good and the bad, they're both. A large population, the king has more power and control and is recognized in a greater fashion, but that can be bad as well if he lets it go to his head and doesn't follow God's way. But without subjects, a prince is ruined. So without having somebody who can do his work for him, then it can be a downer, I guess I would call it. Verse 29, a patient man has great understanding. So I think that's, well, it's basically a good trait. Patience, and patience is a virtue and should be looked upon as a desired way to be patient, has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. And again, those who cannot control their temper or their anger can be a real harm to others. And so you see the difference between the two there. Verse 30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. That's pretty strong, both from the good, a heart at peace. That's what we should seek from the Lord. The Lord will give us his peace and guidance and understanding and gives life to our body, gives strength even when our bodies are deteriorating with age and what have you. But continue to do as best you can with what God has given you. But the opposite, the bad part of it's the last part, but envy. When people are consumed by envy, wanting something that somebody else has or whatever, can literally rot the bones, according to this verse. Verse 31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. And so, don't take advantage of the poor. Help the poor when it's appropriate. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So, it's important to take care of the needy as needed. There's a lot of false messages out there of who's needy. You know, do you give all this money and care for the illegal immigrants? You know, that's what we've done, or at least the far left, and might as well call them communists. I don't know. I use the word because I believe they follow a communist style of thinking. And so that's what we're up against. We have the two sides, two distinct sides in our government. But it is important to care for the less privileged, the poor. So, verse 32, when calamity comes, so when bad times come, the wicked are brought down. So God may use calamity to get the attention of the wicked, or even some, you know, die with whatever it is that happens. And then it says, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge. And that's what we can take emphasis on, our emphasis in our life. Follow Christ, look to Him, do the things that God calls us to do as best we can, and receive the ultimate reward, which is to be, when we die, to go to be with the Lord. Verse 33, wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. So wisdom remains in the heart of the discerning. And I believe whether wisdom brings discernment or discernment helps to make us wise, you can look at that either way, but it is good. But and even among fools, she lets herself be known. So even the foolish can maybe be affected by those who have wisdom and discernment. Verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation. I think that's a thing. I think, you know, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I think our nation has been blessed for 250 years, or going on 250 years now, because in general, I'm not saying all by any means are righteous, but through the years, we've been a nation that has witnessed to others, sent missionaries and so forth. But there's a lot of things that have changed, I think, over the last ever, you know, whatever the number of years are. I guess in my lifetime, I know a lot has changed, but it's not necessarily for the good. But I think right now we're seeing an opportunity, a possibility of continuing that this country can be blessed in ways that maybe we haven't even seen before. But it has to be ruled or overseen by the righteous. And whether we have enough righteous in this nation, only time will tell. And how long, you know, God will keep from sending his son back, you know, for Jesus to return. Verse 35, a king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath. So, yes, there's good. A king delights in a wise servant. So if you have somebody that's wise under you and does his work, it's a benefit. But a shameful servant, one who doesn't, incurs his wrath. So there's consequences to not doing it. Okay, we're going to move on to chapter 15. I'm going to read through it a little bit more quickly, probably without commenting, unless somebody, you know, has a comment they want to make, or a description or something that comes to mind to them. So, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's good. But a harsh word stirs up anger. That's bad. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge. That's good. But the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Again, bad. Verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. And that's good. Keeping watch on the wicked and the good, which is all good. The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. So your tongue can be like the tree of life? So it But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. So the good and the bad shown there. Verse 5, a fool spurns his father's discipline. That's bad. But whoever heeds correction shows prudence. That's good. The house of the righteous contains great treasure. Good. But the income of the wicked brings them trouble. That's bad. The lips, verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, which is good. Not so the hearts of fools. Bad. Verse 8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, because it's bad. But the prayer of the upright pleases him. That's what pleases the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, again the bad. But he loves those who pursue righteousness. Good. Verse 10, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. And that's a reaction to the undisciplined. Stern discipline. So stern discipline helps to help them to follow the path, the right path. He who hates correction will die. So those who rebel has a consequence oftentimes. Verse 11, death and destruction lie open before the Lord. That's a true maxim. Death and destruction seems always to be there in front of us, around us. How much more the hearts of men? And so the hearts of men make a difference on what may happen to others, death and destruction. Verse 12, a mocker resents correction, which is not good, bad. He will not consult the wise, bad. Verse 13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. That's good, but heartache crushes the spirit, and that's bad. The discerning heart seeks knowledge. That's a good thing. But the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. That's a bad thing. All the days of the oppressed are wretched. And that's a bad thing. But the cheerful heart has a continual feast. That's good. 16. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than a great wealth with turmoil. So you got the good and the bad there. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love is good than a fattened calf with hatred. The hatred word is the key word. That's bad. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. That's bad. But a patient man calms a quarrel. That's good. The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns. But the path of the upright is a highway. So the sluggard's way, the lazy one's way, is blocked with thorns. They get stuck. But the path of the upright is a highway. So it's good. Verse 20, a wise son brings joy to his father. That's good. But a foolish man despises his mother. That's bad. Folly delights a man who lacks judgment. That's bad. But a man of understanding keeps a straight course. That's good. That's good. Verse 22, plans fail for lack of counsel. Lack of counsel is not good. But with many advisors, they succeed. So have the right advisors. Have somebody that is helpful in your life and direction, which is good. Verse 23, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply. That's good. And how good is a timely word? That's also good. Verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the wise. That's good. To keep him from going down to the grave. In other words, an extended life possibly. It doesn't always mean that, you know, for everyone who is good. When you follow God's way, God may give you grace and extend your life, and because you're beneficial to His kingdom. Verse 25, the Lord tears down the proud man's house. So the Lord will often take action against the proud. Proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. Those that need to be cared for, he spares. In other words, now it isn't universal. We may say, well, why did he cause this to happen to this person or people, whatever. But there's always there's a greater purpose, there's a greater reason. Verse 26, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, for sure, it's bad, but those of the pure are pleasing to Him. That's what pleases the Lord, the thoughts of the good, of the pure, are pleasing to Him. Verse 27, a greedy man brings trouble to his family, it's bad, but he who hates bribes will live. So if you push back against those who bribe, it's a good thing. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, good, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil, bad. The Lord is far from the wicked, which are the bad, but He hears the prayer of the righteous, which are good. 30, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart, good. And good news gives health to the bones, it's also good. 31, he who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise, that's good. He who ignores discipline despises himself, that's bad. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding, that's good. And finally, verse 33, and I'm sure you've heard this verse quoted, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. That's good. And humility comes before honor. Be humble. Be humble. Even when you want to be recognized, humility is a virtue and should be honored. So, okay, now I'll move to chapter 16, which requires a little bit more thinking on some of this, because it's not so much good and bad, or good and evil, but what is God saying here as we read each one of these verses, as best we can analyze. Verse 1 of chapter 16, to mankind, belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. So, what is in your heart? To the man belongs the plans of the heart. What are your plans? What do you call good and bad? And so I think that verse speaks to that it's important that your heart be right with the Lord. But from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. So what we speak, what we say, what we share can all be good or bad, depending on where our heart is. Verse 2, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. I didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, I'm good. But motives are weighed by the Lord. So who's the judge? Who's the judge of right and wrong? God is. And God, we may think, well, that isn't so bad. And we may believe our motives are good. But God will be the judge. But motives are weighed by the Lord. Verse 3. commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. That ought to be a bulletin board comment in our homes or whatever. So committing to the Lord through prayer, through study, through whatever God is calling us to do, helping others, whatever we believe that God is leading us to do, commit it to the Lord, whatever we do, and your plans will succeed. You will have more success, not always perfect, because we all mess up, but I think your plans will succeed. Verse 4. The Lord, Yahweh, works out everything for his own ends. And we need to remember that. It's always in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. That's why we can say, why did that happen? Why did God take this person at this time? Why? You know, we can ask all those questions. But the Lord works out everything for his own ends. He has a purpose in all things. And that's why when we see this, I mean, it was with Charlie Kirk being shot, with him doing the things he was doing, it was distressing. It was, I mean, I got upset about it. I'm sure so many others did too. But then as time has gone on and we look at what has happened to so many people, and even particularly young people, you know, it's just exciting to me to see these young people wanting to be part of this movement, and for Charlie's wife to take the reins. I could listen to her all day long. She is such a righteous, in my opinion, righteous woman, and she's going to make a difference. She forgave the shooter. Who can do that? You know. So anyway, that's okay. Where did I leave off? Jim, do you have it? 4. Okay, I'm on 4. Thank you. Sometimes I get sidetracked and I can't remember where. I don't keep my finger in place. The Lord works out everything for his own ends. That's important. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. So everything is planned. God knows ahead of time everything that will happen. The Lord, verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. So don't keep pride in your heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. There is a consequence of prideful hearts. Verse 6, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. So how do we avoid or stay away from evil? We need the fear of the Lord. Now, fear is not being scared, but it's being respective, being honor him and follow his desires. Verse 7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, and that's what we desire to be, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Boy, that gives some purpose to try to do our best. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, through the fear of the pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. That's a pretty good verse to have somewhere to remind us. Verse 8. Better a little with righteousness, God's way, than much gain with injustice. Think about that in our culture. Do it. Seek God's way. Do what's right as we see it with God, what God desires, and stay out of the seeking gain by doing bad things, injustice. Verse 9, In his heart, a man plans his course. Hopefully all of us do that or have done it, looking for what is our role? What should we be doing? What not be arrogant about what we have done, but seeking what we can still do. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And I'd say every step we take should be dedicated to the Lord. The Lord will guide our steps. Verse 10, the lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. So the leaders, the top people, the kings in that day, King David, King Solomon, speak as an oracle, so they share what's hopefully right and wrong, and his mouth should not betray justice. Don't do things that are against the law, against the way, the right way. Verse 11, honest scales and balances, in other words, to weigh something out, are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. So what we're weighing, whether it's grain or whatever it might be, it should be honest. And that's what I'm taking from that. It may mean something else. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Make it honest. Because I know some of us may be tempted to cheat and put something else in the bag that's not of the, it just creates weight. So anyway, verse 12. Kings detest wrongdoing. So the overseers, hopefully, are strong and righteous, and they should detest wrongdoing because they have the authority to put down wrongdoing. For a throne is established through righteousness. And again, I'm going to put point righteousness. That's from God to down to us through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Boy, do we need that. That should be one of the headlines in our culture. I mean, I've heard too many senators and congressmen that says, well, everybody lies. Everybody lies. What are you saying? It's whatever you can get away with. And that these are the leaders of our country, and so many of them. My opinion is mostly on the left, but I think there's some on the right that...
the citizens allow it.
A lot, yeah.
The laws are blamed too.
Yeah, and the citizens are all to blame too, yeah. Let's see, where am I at, 13? 14, a king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. Okay, verse 15, I'm going to stop here. Where am I at? Let me get through 16 and then we'll stop there and pick up the rest next week. When a king's face brightens, it means life. He's reflecting life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. And we could use a few rain clouds right now. It's pretty dry. but we're now in fall, but in springtime, it's very important to have spring rains. Verse 16, to conclude today, how much better to get wisdom than what? Gold. To choose understanding rather than silver. And so we'll stop there, something to reflect upon. You know, I think all of us have worked in our lives and we want to make money and so forth and have things, and that's all fine and good, but it shouldn't be the only thing that becomes the basis of our lives to do that. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. We'll pick up with verse 17 next week and try to move on. We've got to get through 22 to finish Solomon's word. So got probably a couple weeks more to go to get to there. So, but I hope this is at least reflective. I guess what I'm looking at, why do I need to read every verse? Why can't I just say to you, read this chapter, read this verse? I think sometimes we need together hear it and reflect on it back and forth to each other. So, all right, we'll wrap it up today with the teaching, and we'll end with a word of prayer, and we'll prepare ourselves for a time of worship and fellowship meal afterwards. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you as always for this time that you bring us together in this place, but also for those who may listen in to what we share in our Sunday mornings. And so we thank you for the opportunity to share your word, and now particularly the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that is given to us or shown to us in these Proverbs, believed to have been written or given by Solomon. And so you did bless Solomon with wisdom. And I just pray, Lord, that some of that wisdom can be passed on to each of us. You know, Solomon abused some of that in his life later, but I believe Ecclesiastes tells us he ended well. And so I just thank you for the word that we're sharing from the Proverbs, and just ask for to give us each an encouragement, a word of encouragement, and to understand what it is that you want us to believe in our heart. And that's the important thing. Believe it in your heart. You can hear it with your ears and see it with your eyes, but until you believe what is true and understandable, and it goes into your heart, and therefore we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So I just pray, Lord, for to make a difference in this world, in this life, that we can continue to follow your way and follow what the scripture is telling us and should desire to do that. So I pray for that. And I pray now ahead of time for a time of worship in church, each part of our worship service, with the prayers, with the music, with the communion, time of communion, with the scripture reading, and also Raymond's message again from Genesis chapter 4. So I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the people who have come and the people who may listen in to what we have to share. And then I pray also for our fellowship meal afterwards. I just pray that we can gather together as believers in Christ share a good time, but a good meal. And we thank you for the meal that has been prepared and ask for a blessing upon it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.